Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me as I am bringing a message this week I've entitled Two Choices. And before you get to find out what those two choices are, you're going to have to listen a while as we go into the Word of the Lord. And as I shared yesterday in the introduction, we're going to be looking at a unlikely topic this time of year as far as the Word of the Lord that is given through James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his epistle. We're going to be looking at verses in the third chapter and fourth chapter. And why is that? As I ask God for what He would have, historically, traditionally, this is a time of year when many people get together. It's families or friends, co-workers, office parties. There's a greater social contact generally during this time. And so it is also a time where great patience is required. There's a lady listening to you right now. You have family members coming over. You're going to do the honors as far as hospitality and Christmas, and you're really dreading this one relative because they are critical, they're fault-finding, and there's generally strife wherever they go. And so I'm hoping that all of us can learn as we go into this, the specific practical instructions that James is giving, that we will be able, regardless of what goes on, to be a peacemaker, to be loving, to not get ruffled or stressed by the ungodly behavior of others, but that we can be an example before family, before friends, before coworkers. Now, when I said there were two choices, basically, this revolves around criticism. I know every one of us has received criticism in our lives from varying types of people. Some of them have been in a leadership position, others friends or family. And criticism is painful. No one likes criticism. But the point is, how do we respond to it? Perhaps there's no greater mark of our spirituality and maturity in Christ as to how we respond. And so let me give a scenario. We will either submit to leadership, that's one choice, and by that I mean perhaps spiritual leadership like a pastor or a counselor or parental leadership. Speaking to especially the younger generation, or perhaps it's a work situation, a boss, a business relationship. We will either submit if we're being criticized and listen to whatever that criticism is, or we will get mad and offended. And most of us, following the promptings of our carnal nature, generally will be mad and offended. Now, we may vary in the ways that we express it. Some people just can't handle it and they just explode, or we just keep it buried and hidden. But the point is, if there are needs in our lives, and we're never very good at seeing our own faults, others, God uses others to bring them to our attention. And in order to change, we have to admit we may have a problem. Now, there are times criticism is totally unearned. There's no basis for it. And yet, even that is a trial to see how we respond. God alone, He's the Spirit of Truth. He knows the truth. He knows what is being said to you, against you, charged against you, is true or not. Or there could be, you know, a whole combination of things going on. The actions may be not wrong. The motives could be wrong. Whatever. It's very complex, our social relationships. So let's get now into the Word. And I'm going to start reading at James, the third chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 2. He says, "For in many things we offend all." You see, James is including himself there. I'm including myself. I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us because this is a part. He's addressing things of our carnal nature, which we need to mortify or put to death. And he says, and again, I've got this special Bible before me, so I might read other translations just to clarify that particular verse. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. All right. Behold, hold on just a second. Before I get there, let me just cover what follows after verse 2. He goes on about the tongue, and he basically says, no man can tame it. We put bits in horses' mouths. Ships are driven through just a tiny little governor, if you will, or a rudder. They are directed that way. But how he says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And he says, but the tongue can no man tame, and that's true, only the Spirit of God. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And he said, out of the same mouth, verse 10, proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. He's speaking not only to those he knew, but throughout the ages, to every single believer who wants to be formed into the image of Jesus. And so he's addressing the problem of our tongue. He said, you know, the same as a perfect man, if you can control your tongue. And I don't know, if any of you have reached that stage, would you please pray for me? Because that's an area we all have offended, and we respond, we react, we say words that are unloving, that are cutting. And Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not respond. He answered not a word, but as a lamb, as a sheep, was led to the slaughter, he was led. And so, beloved, let's now read verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who among you is wise or clever? Which of you is wise and a well-instructed man? Let him shew out of a good conversation. Other translations say, let him show by his good life, out of his good conduct, his works with meekness of wisdom, his conduct to be guided by a wise gentleness, that his good deeds are done in humility, which wisdom prompts. King James, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, that's the King James. But while you harbor envy and bitterness and a spirit of rivalry in your hearts, but if you have bitter jealousy and party spirit in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Don't boast or lie to the detriment of truth, capital T. Do not pride yourself on that and be false to the truth. And you know, he's talking here about envying and strife. And I'd like to just refer to what might appear to be an obscure scripture found in the book of Ecclesiastes. In the fourth chapter, verse 4, the King James says, again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Other translations say this, then I saw that all toil and skillful work is the rivalry of one man for another. Another translation, then I observed that the basic motive for success is the driving force of envy and jealousy. Let me read that again. Then I observed that the basic motive for success is the driving force of envy and jealousy. This too is foolishness and chasing of the wind. And so when James is talking in that third chapter, he is stressing that spirit of emulation, of competition, trying out to outdo one another, those are attitudes, those are motives, if you will, that operate in fallen man, in the world. And he is rebuking. Remember, he's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to the unsaved. He's not, as Paul is, presenting theological doctrine and laying out the basic tenets of the Christian faith. He's speaking very practically to Christians. And he said, you don't harness your tongue. All sorts of problems are caused by responses and reactions, that words that are said, hurtful words, critical words. And he says, you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. And then, so he's getting very, very down to where we live. He is challenging us to be honest. And as he speaks to us, he gives a contrast with the way that we might normally respond. In fact, let me read 16. That's important. For where envying and strife is. Now let me go back to verse 15. This wisdom that he's been speaking about descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's earthbound, sensual, demonic. It belongs to earth, to the unspiritual nature, and to evil spirits. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And so there's disharmony, all other kinds of evil, disorder, and all kinds of base actions, confusion, and every vile deed. So when there is envying, strife, that's what causes discord and problems and party spirits and factions among people. How many times has the God's heart been grieved when there's been church splits? What is it? Of course, it's stuff like this, because we have not learned to make the right choice. We either have to admit we are wrong according to God's word, and we're talking now about our personal walk, or we just get mad and we get offended. And unfortunately, too many have brought sorrow, each one of us, I have, to the heart of God by reacting in a way that's not godly. And as we approach this Christmas season, it's so important to be aware the enemy wants to do everything he can to cause upset and strife at a time which should be harmonious and loving and peaceful. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Hope you can join us. Till then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours. This is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.